Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
What is that?
Oh, yeah, it's a World Cup holder.
Like the soccer tournament World Cup?
Holder. For the world. Fits every car, holds every cup.
It has a Carvana logo?
Yeah, Carvana made it. They buy and sell cars, so they made a car cup holder. So, got any good cups lately?
Yeah, used to. I just couldn't figure out where in the world to put them.
The World Cup holder. Brought to you by Carvana. Proud sponsors of the World Cup holder.
Sign up today to win yours at cup-holder2026.com. Not authorized or endorsed by FIFA. Not a real product. For parody and fair use purposes only.
And welcome into the Friday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. Hope everybody's off to a fabulous start to their day today, wherever you may be. Joe Rexroad, good morning. How are you? What's going on?
Good. Happy Tuesday. How's everybody doing?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. It does feel like Tuesday, except we don't work
weird
tomorrow. So.
Very weird. Very weird.
Very, very strange.
We'll take it, though.
Hey, I'm here for it. Keyser, how we doing? What's going on?
Hey, doing good, guys. Joe, nice of us to join you to class, huh? Jumping in a little late there, huh? Coming in hot.
I've noticed Joe is kind of like Willie Donick. Like, Willie Donick's got this knack.
I don't know.
Like walking through the door about 11 seconds before their show begins.
I think Donick is a little later.
And I think Joe logged on about 10 seconds before the show started today.
Good job, Joe.
It's pretty incredible. Those two have gotten it down to a science.
Yeah, it was a little tight today. I think yesterday it was well early, but that was also a weird day because I couldn't drive my car. So. But you're right. I do push it a little bit sometimes.
Well, I mean, it's after the pre-show meeting, so you'd already put in some
Izzo
time.
Izzo would be very mad.
No, he's already put in some time. He's good.
Well, exactly. I mean, after we've rehearsed every word we're going to say, sometimes I need to just, like, rest my brain for a minute so I don't forget anything. So, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. We might need to push it back another hour, and then that way, like, there's no, you know, then there'd be no chance of messing anything up.
Yeah, I will say that, like, Willie in particular has gotten it down to, it's just an art.
It's amazing, I know.
Like, their show starts at 11. Willie's walking through the door at 10:59:44 and is in his chair by the time that thing goes on, and he's ready to go at 11 o'clock. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, Willie doesn't need no pre-show meeting.
He doesn't. No, he does not. We got a lot to get into on the program today. Stilly will be with us at 7 o'clock. I know Joe's missed him, so the first edition of Stilly on our program in 2025. That will be at 7 o'clock today. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, will be with us at 8. I would say we'll break down the Titans and the Texans. We might do that. I don't know what that's going to look like, Joe. I mean, this thing's mercifully almost over.
I think we should break down every single individual matchups. One football game left. There is not another professional football game that counts in this town.
Yeah.
For 9 months.
Some right? could say this is the most important football game around here for a while in this town. So we'll see how that goes coming up on Sunday.
Better savor it.
And by the way, Pigskin Pick'em at 8:30. The competition has tightened up. Pun intended.
Yes.
I just did the standings update, Joe, and I'm just saying that someone is within 1 point of someone else for first place. So we'll get into that
a little
bit later
look.
In the program. So lots to come on the show today. We begin with the Sugar Bowl last night. Notre Dame, a 23-10 winner against the Georgia Bulldogs, which means, Joe, that all four teams that got the bye in the first round have now been eliminated from the college football playoff. The SEC has one team remaining with the Texas Longhorns. Notre Dame, Ohio State, Penn State, and Texas, your final four in the college football playoff. And Joe, in like actual game time, so not like elapsed actual human time, but game time, it was about a minute last night where Notre Dame did most of their scoring. They had, you know, the score late at the half, and then they brought back the kick to begin the second half. And that was pretty much the story of the game last night for Notre Dame. They went 23-10. They shut down Gunnar Stockton and the Georgia offense. What'd you make of that one yesterday?
Yeah, Notre Dame's a legit, very good defensive team. If you're Georgia, you cannot give up the special teams, but you also can't get schooled like Kirby Smart did at the end of the game. Critical, a really good move from Marcus Freeman, you know, bringing his punt team out, then mass subbing the offense back on the field. So Georgia mass subs its defense back on the field. They're allowed to do that. But then they like just freaked out and jumped off sides. Now, there was a little twitch from a Notre Dame receiver too, by the way. But so, you know, the officials kind of screwed that up. But it was a really good move by Freeman. And I mean, he got the better of Smart on that one.
Kirby Smart very upset about that, by the way.
Yes. But, you know, Gunnar Stockton, first of all, I think you can see the talent with him for sure. I mean, I can see him being really good at some point, but not ready for this game yesterday. So, like you said, the four byes, and this is a correct usage of the word bye, by the way, everybody.
It's one of
the
two.
Four byes. Four byes all come up short. So I know there'll probably be a lot of talk. Well, two things. One, that we've been talking about it. You got to seed the field correctly. So I think that'll start next year. The automatic bye, you know, for a conference champ, I think should be over. But also I think there's different situations. You got the hurt quarterback with this. I mean, Penn State's better than Boise State. Texas, Arizona State was an insane game, and Ohio State is just the way they're playing right now. I don't care if they have a bye, no bye, home, road, new, doesn't matter. You know, they're just insanely loaded. And now, they've got everything working for him. So, you know, it's just, I'd still take, as a football coach, like, I don't think this is one of those, like, oh, rust because you sat out. You know, I think sometimes that happens, like in the NBA playoffs or something, you know, if you sit forever. And then I would still take a game of not having my team battered. It's just how it worked out this year.
Two things to look back on this college football season that become more and more mystifying with each passing day. Number one, how did this Ohio State team lose to this Michigan team? I mean, would you watch them play the last 2 weeks in the college football playoff? It really is like mind-boggling how that could be the case. And then equally is mind-boggling, how in the world did Northern Illinois beat Notre Dame earlier this year? Like, I watched that Notre Dame team last night, and I'm like, how did they possibly allow this to happen earlier in the year? It's mystifying to me.
Yeah, no, great point. And that's still the biggest upset of the year. And at that time, you thought they were basically hosed. But that is college football too. And yeah, I tell you what, the Michigan game, I mean, Chip Kelly must have just, like, did he not come to work that day? I mean, the crazy thing about that is, like, I mean, they've had some ups and downs this year. You know, they've had a couple, like, kind of lulls offensively, but for the most part, you know, they've been throwing it around the yard. They got great receivers. And then on that day, they just said, no, you know what? Let's just go ahead and just run into a brick wall all day. Yeah. Let's just play tough, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust wall. No, do what you do well and beat them by 3 touchdowns. What are you talking? It's insane the way that they played that game. But Chip Kelly's learned his lesson, because since then he's like, you know what? I think I'll just throw to number 4 and see how that works out for me.
Yeah, it's working out pretty well for them right now. So Texas, the lone team remaining in the SEC in the Final Four here, and they won basically by the skin of their teeth against Arizona State. They were, you know, fourth down away from losing that game. Then to their credit, they were able to score on that play and then score the very next play in overtime to beat Arizona State. But you got Texas, the lone representative of the SEC. Joe, we've talked about this a little bit. It's not gone overly well for the SEC in both the playoff and the bowl games so far this year. And there's obviously a lot of yelling and screaming about the SEC heading into the college football playoff and how many teams they should have gotten in. What do you make of all this? What do you make of how this has all played out and what this means for the current state of the SEC?
I mean, what I make of it is every postseason is different, and a postseason does not, you know, again, serve as a referendum on like a season or really even a league, but everybody wants to make it do that, right? So I'm kind of in the middle. I will go back to people screaming about Indiana when Notre Dame kicked their butt and, you know, they shouldn't have been in. It's like, well, they were going to get in, man. They were 11-1 and they beat the crap out of everybody they played and they were going to get in. Okay. So do I look at this now and say, see, I mean, you know, I know there are people on Twitter like Indiana was closer than, you know, than all these other teams to, they were closer than Georgia. They were closer than Tennessee at Ohio State. I mean, I will tell you, Robbie, if Indiana and Tennessee played, I think it'd be a great game. That's what I think. But hypothetical football is all we're doing here. The bottom line is SEC is still the best league. I mean, there's no question in my mind. The SEC is the best league. They have the best quality program, the most quality programs. I do think, you know, at this, at least in this season, and I'm not ready to sit here and say this is how it's going to be, but in this season, we obviously don't have an SEC team that's just an absolute monolith, right? A Goliath. And usually we do. I think that team this year is Ohio State, and we'll see if they fulfill that. But there's not a great team in the SEC this year. There's a lot of good. It's still the best league. So, you know, there's people are going to go overboard the other way with this. But also, I think, like, the Feinbaums and even the Herb Streets deserve a little bit of criticism, because I do think there's a little bit of, well, I mean, they must be better, right? They're in the SEC. Well, I don't know. I mean, I watch Illinois and South Carolina play. It's a pretty equal matchup. They're both good teams. So, I don't know. My take is pretty wishy-washy, but it's somewhere in between. You know, I still don't. I don't think any differently of, like, what the league is. It's better than the Big Ten. It has way more quality programs. Just this is one of those years where you don't have a great team. The question I have, Robbie, is that what we're going to see more and more now because of less depth around and things like that? I still think you're going to have super teams that come out of this league in years to come, probably.
Can I give a quick shout out to Juice Wells of Ole Miss, who scored a touchdown last night and then promptly made fun of Shane Beamer in his touchdown celebration by acting like he was getting held back by the rest of his team. It was awesome. It was the greatest thing I've ever seen, and I am a Juice Wells fan forever now.
Dude, I totally miss this.
Oh, I'll send it to you. It's incredible.
Please send it to me.
You know, obviously he used to play for Shane Beamer at South Carolina and then transferred to Ole Miss. It's the greatest thing I've ever seen and one of the great things in the history of college football.
Oh, that's fantastic. Also, yeah, they went and beat the crap out of South Carolina on the road this year.
Yes. Yes, they did. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Joe has an interesting idea as it relates to college football, and we'll get into that here in just a minute. Take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Friday morning, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Talking some college football, the Final Four set in the college football playoff. Notre Dame, Penn State, Ohio State, Texas, the final four teams remaining in the college football playoff. We'll take your thoughts on that. Rex Road has an idea that I think could be interesting in the world of college football as it relates to when the season starts. Joe, what do you have for us?
Well, and I can't claim that it's my original idea. I mean, Stuart Mandel has written about this. Other people have too. But I might take it a step further. So I think he's dead on that. Like week zero needs to become week one. I mean, shoot, you tell me college football's going to kick off in mid-August, great, okay? I mean, you know, I guess the students maybe aren't moved in yet, and there's logistical issues there, but I think if you move everything back, what you get is, here's what's going to get weird, Robbie, is, so next week now, you know, you get into the next semester, and now you have the semifinals next week, Thursday and Friday. And then you go another 11 days until Monday, January 20th for the national title game. And I just think it's crazy to go that far. And I think that if you have, so Stewart's idea is the semifinal, January 1 should have been a doubleheader of the semifinals, right? Which I think, you know, and then you move it back to like, basically the next thing coming up is it, which is what it used to be, right? I mean, that's what the national championship used to be. So I like that idea, but how about a little bit more radical idea? Because I saw this week and I thought about it. I was like, you know what? I like that. I came up with the plan. We talked about it. I wrote about The Athletic. You know, enough of this. Like, quarterfinals need to be at home sites. I strongly believe that. The teams that you know, got these byes should have had home games. The number one seed, the only undefeated team, should have had a freaking home game. I know they had a bye, but they should have had a home game. So my idea was, okay, semifinals, then the bowls. You can still have the bowls involved in the semis and the title game. Instead of shopping it around like the Super Bowl, you have one of the bowls as a title game. But I saw this weekend, and I kind of agree. You know, the Rose Bowl should be the championship game. I mean, the Rose Bowl, in the history, if we're going to talk tradition of college football, and this goes well before it became a Big Ten Pac-8, you know, tradition in the 40s. Well, before that, I mean, in fact, before that became that, I think Tennessee played in that thing, like, right before that became a tradition. And the Rose Bowl was always, that was the bowl game. That was the thing. It's the greatest setting in sports, at least on the mainland here. So can we change the calendar and the season and the sport so that on January 1st, the same time, 2:00 local, so you get that sunset in the fourth quarter, that we have the national championship game in the Rose Bowl. Now that's changing things, right? Like, that's certainly getting rid of the conference championship games, right?
Yeah.
It might be getting rid of a game. So I understand a lot of people are like, but of course, as Paul Kaharsky would chime in, and a lot of people would, especially who aren't big college football fans, great. You get rid of a crappy game? Yes, let's do that. You know, and get it to where the calendar actually makes sense. I mean, you could, you know, again, you could start a tournament, the week of where you have championship games. So let's say that's like December 2nd. We're going to get to 16, right? And we know we're going to get to 16. Yeah. So, okay, so like whatever it is, December 2nd. Okay, there's your 16. December 9th is your 8. December 16th is your
4.
Thank you. And then or whatever. I mean, you actually have more flexibility than that. You can go a week later if you need to, and get it to January 1 for the Rose Bowl championship every year. Now, do TV people like the idea of their championship being, you know, at six or a 5 Eastern? I don't know, but the Super Bowl is always at 6 Eastern, right? This is like 6:18 Eastern on a Sunday.
Yeah.
So
I reject this out of hand.
Okay.
I reject it out of hand, mainly for selfish reasons. The national championship game needs to be in our city one day. Screw the Rose Bowl. It needs to be here one day. So I reject it out of hand for no other reason than that.
Well, that's the thing. Any of my plans blow that up for sure. And I, you know what, if they're going to keep doing this, which I think they want to, even though like Nick Saban has said he hates it, then I think we absolutely will get it. So, you know, it's just it's probably too much, but the Rose Bowl somehow through all of these changes has still maintained, you know, having the January 1 thing and all that stuff. I mean, it's,
don't we kind of have, like, to tell them to pound sand at some point though? Like, they're going to have to be a little bit more flexible.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, no, I don't. Well, the thing, I mean, look, I mean, they're going to, I'm trying to think here. So obviously this year they have this, but I mean, the way it works out, when they get the semis, I mean, they're going to be at a weird day. You know what I mean? So they're already about to change the tradition. So they finally did bend on that. They had to, you know, you want to be a part of this. You're going to, at some point, you're going to be on a Thursday night, man. Like, you know, sorry, but I will say, man, you know, the San Gabriel Mountains, the sun, you know,
it's real. It's very
two
nice.
Two teams playing for a national championship. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of nice. Just a thought. But I do think whatever it is, that the calendar moving up makes sense, doesn't it? I mean,
yeah,
we certainly can do week zero as week one.
Like that I think can be a minimum, right? Like week zero can be, because I will say, as somebody who loves college football, you know, I'll watch any college football by the time that week zero comes around. But usually, and this year was really not an exception, usually you get to it and you're like, oh, good, it's college football. But it's not really college football. There's like 6 games. But yeah, we need to week zero can become week one. I think that's the minimum of what you can do to move this thing up.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then you go week nothing before becomes week zero. And you can have those games. Yeah. You know, so
if you're Hawaii and you want to get a head start on everybody else, you could start in late July if you want to. That's fine with me.
Yeah. I'll watch it. I'll watch the game. Hey, I got a texter who says, can we just have Joe lead the committee? Preach.
Wow.
Hey, man, I'll put my name in. I mean, people are talking about this college football commissioner, and Nick Saban doesn't want to do it. I guess he feels bad about cheating at Alabama. I don't know. I mean, he doesn't want to do it. So
he's focused on integrity.
Their cheating is that the guys went to the NFL. Yes. That's how they cheated. Yes.
Joe Rexroad and Alabama Jones leading the way for the future of college football here. I'm here for it. I think we might be on to something.
No, so Greg Sankey yesterday was available, you know, at the Sugar Bowl, and I think the quote he had was, it was like, absolutely he wants changes, you know, for next year. And, of course, you know, again, everybody agrees in the seating, right? Like, that one's easy, and it's going to happen. I'll be shocked if it doesn't.
I would think so.
And if you look at the bracket, like what it would have been with the correct, you know, with the seeding rather than just the auto buys, it would have been, I think we would have had more good games, you know? And like, yeah, again, this field, like Indiana, Boise State, good, you know, SMU. I mean, look, I shouldn't pick on Arizona State. They should have beat Texas, but still, you'd have had better games. That will happen. I will throw the biggest tantrum in the history of tantrums. If these freaking crybaby Big Ten SEC people seriously try to get four automatic bids for themselves in the future.
Oh, they're going to try.
It's so weak. They need to be called out for being. So you have that little confidence in yourself that you think you have to stack the deck in your favor. Get out there and compete, you freaking soft ass crybabies. I mean, it's absolutely insane. Seriously. We have more money and we're more popular, so we're just going to, we get four, they get four, okay? Thanks. No, screw that. Get out there and compete. I mean, the preseason rankings already influence everything, and I think the SEC is the best league, but they influence everything, and they make people at times think the SEC is better than it is. This year was a great example of that. You're going to seriously tell me you need four automatic, that is absolute crap, and it cannot be allowed to happen.
We could have seen Jalen Milroe in there slinging it around in the college football playoff, man. What are you talking about? By the way, he's going to the NFL, so good for him.
I don't get it, man.
I don't either. I don't. I think he's getting bad advice from someone. But who knows? Look, man, I thought Anthony Richardson was crazy for going to the NFL, and then he got drafted fourth overall, so who knows?
Yeah, but that's not going to happen to Jalen Milroe. And that he's not going before if he goes before the third round, I'll be shocked out of my mind.
Yep. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Yesterday we talked about the setting of what it could be like on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. So we're throwing the question out there. Is this actually the low point in the history of the Titans franchise? We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Friday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans. Joe, real quickly before we do get into the Titans, the New York Jets interviewing Mike Vrabel today at their facility. So, see what that looks like if I'm Vrabel. I don't know how much interest I've got in the New York Jets, but good on him for taking the interview, and we'll see what that ends up looking like. I'm like a quarter of the way through a piece on The Athletic by Zach Rosenblatt inside Vrabel's gap year and kind of going through some of the stuff after the firing with Vrabel. So I'm sure
nice.
Going to be very interesting. It starts with an anecdote of Vrabel at the Corner Pub here in town. So,
good stuff. He's a regular. He may still be. I don't know.
Yeah.
As he drives there and listens to our show. Interesting. I'll have to check that out. It's cool of the Browns to let Vrabel out to go. By the way, have we talked about the fact that, who the heck reported this? I hate when I do this because I like to give credit. Somebody did. That Vrabel was the de facto offensive line coach for the Browns this year.
I did not see that. No.
No, this was in a God, was it? Actually, it might have been us. It might have been The Athletic, or it might have been SI. It was somebody who I think either covers the team or covers the league. I'm doing a great job here. It's very true. Like, in fact, I'll Google it and I'll find it. But yeah, like, it was just written like casually, you know, basically the offensive line coach this year. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they lost their offensive line coach to Nashville. I mean, I know they hired an offensive line coach, so I don't know. Like, did he race Jameis Winston so well pregame? They're like, you know what? Let's have him work on protecting Jameis Winston. I don't know. Very weird. But, you know,
very natural transition from Bill Callahan to Mike Vrabel.
Hey, he knows offensive line coaches. That Jason Hodling blew him away with that interview.
It's true.
So.
It's true.
The Vrabel thing, you know, I think the Bears thing is going to get interesting. There's a few things to get to today with some reporting from Albert Breer, including on the Titans. But one of the things that he reported that is interesting is, you know, the Jaguars as a possible better fit for Ben Johnson, Lions OC, than the Bears. If that's the case, and in part because it's a total clean sweep, the new GM, he does have Trevor Lawrence. I mean, are you more excited about Trevor Lawrence or Caleb Williams? I would say Caleb Williams, but yeah. Like, I also don't know Caleb Williams is going to be great, right?
Yeah.
But if that's the case, then I think Vrabel would clearly be the Bears' top choice. And also, the Ohio State job is pretty much not going to be his now because Ryan Day is messing around and winning a national championship.
He might do that. I do want to read one, as I'm kind of sifting through this story here at The Athletic, I do want to read one quote that Vrabel's got because, he's talking about how he was interviewing for some jobs last offseason and he felt like he never really had a shot for the Falcons job. And was not especially interested in coaching the Carolina Panthers. But, Zach Rosenblatt points out that a persistent line of questioning kept coming up through the interviews on a perception that he doesn't collaborate well with owners and general managers. Wonder where that came from. Here was the quote that Vrabel had on that. Quote, I care about the team. No job is too small for me or anybody else to help the team win. I feel like I can work with anybody. I feel like winning is the ultimate goal, and I, just like our team, have got to be willing to adjust and adapt to things that are going on. But I believe that I can respectfully disagree, have a conversation, and move on and get past it. I'm also not afraid to share my opinion and what I believe in, my convictions about things that relate to helping a football team win, building a team, or helping players, helping scouts. I love when coaches and scouts get together post-draft. I love collaborating with general manager on game day. I tried to incorporate that system in Tennessee because it's something that I embraced and loved about what we did in Houston. It's a unique relationship, referring to the coach and GM, one that has to remain respectful at all times. I think that it always was. Are we going to disagree? Yep, I hope that we do so that we can grow. But ultimately, somebody's got to be in charge. That was Vrabel's quote there. Interesting.
Yes. Interesting. What is he referring to? I'm skimming it now and I'm seeing the quote, I was born for bars like this, about the corner pub.
big corner pub guy, but Mike Vrabel.
Oh man, that's awesome. That very, very interesting. Carefully sort of answering, right?
Yeah.
Sort of answering what happened, but also still being careful about it. So
I'm very interested to see where he ends up. He's going to get a job. I'd be stunned if he doesn't get a job this cycle. I'm very interested to see where that's going to be.
Yeah. The Jets, I'm with you. Like, man, of course you interview. You don't turn down an interview. You know, clearly he liked the Chargers gig, and I can't knock the Chargers for going with Harbaugh. I mean, sure. It's worked out quite well for them. I think things have changed in his favor a lot, I think, in terms of, well, first of all, you know, I think the Titans and what they've done since he left doesn't hurt him, right? I mean, it's kind of like, well, look at the stuff he said when he was there. Look at the performance of the Titans. Maybe he was onto something. I mean, he was winning when he was there, and then he wasn't. But, you know, he seemed to have a pretty good feel for, like, the owner making some questionable decisions. And then also, as we've talked about, I think the culture, big guy, Dan Campbell stuff helps him too, you know? And now we can have now that if he's a head coach again, the Vrabel Dan Campbell showdown would be just epic.
Yeah, I need it. I mean, it's going to be awesome. He did say a quote later in this thing. I've only had three jobs in my life. I caddied and carried golf bags in high school. I played football and I coached football. I'm not cut out to do much more. That's the quote from Mike Vrabel. I do miss that guy.
Yeah.
At times.
We do. Well, I'm sure he'll come back on the show.
I'm sure he will. He said that he probably wouldn't, but I think that as time goes on, that'll heal up a little bit here. It's just like NWI. We'll get NWI back on the show, too.
Maybe we'll get them both at the same time. But, yeah, my prediction is the Bears. I'm going to predict the Bears. And that'll be interesting for Vrabel because, you know, he didn't always love all the media stuff. There's a lot more people covering the Bears than cover the Titans.
The nice Mike Vrabel versus Matt LaFleur wrestling match that we could look forward to.
Well, then you get the actual rivalry of the Bears line. Oh, yeah. Man, it's great. Yeah, they could all just throw LaFleur in a trash can.
Thanks,
LaFleur,
Matt.
And O'Connell, just put them in the trash can, little nerds. Yeah.
Good stuff. We'll keep you updated on the latest with Mike Vrabel, but apparently interviewing with the New York Jets today. So good luck to him. And I wonder if Woody Johnson's like sons and grandsons and whoever will be in there and conducting an interview at that time. Should be good stuff at that point. Here's a game ball, Mike.
Tell him you like Johnson & Johnson products, Mike.
So the game on Sunday, Titans and Texans. I'm looking now. You can still get in for about $5. So if you're interested in that, look at it. Coming up this weekend, there'll probably be a lot of seats to choose from if you want to go. The weather could be a doozy. Could be a little bit of precipitation in the low 40s. So just setting up to be an ideal day for football at Nissan Stadium. A lot on the line in terms of the draft pick. We went over that yesterday. If you lose, you're finishing no worse than second overall. If you win, you could finish as low as seventh overall in the draft. So that's the most important thing on Sunday, at least in my opinion, as it relates to this game. Question is this the low point of the Titans franchise? They're 3-13. They're in the mix for the number one overall pick. It's been an abysmal season filled with losing. And Joe, for a lot of the season, filled with really non-competitive football. Like, they've not been a very competitive football team throughout the year. This is certainly not the only stretch in Titans history where they've been a bad football team. But I'll toss it to you. Are we looking right now, as we sit here today, on the low point of the Tennessee Titans franchise since they've been in Nashville, Tennessee?
Okay, so that you just clarified the thing that's important to clarify. Because if you're going to do the entire, you know, franchise history, you know, I know that they certainly had a stretch in the early 80s, kind of after Bud Adams fired Bum Phillips, where they bottomed out and they were picking first. And they actually, what they did was they picked like Hall of Fame offensive linemen and built up from there and, you know, and had a lot of really good teams there in the late 80s, early 90s. I think, yes, the only thing that I have to just raise my hand and confess ignorance on is more the 20 years ago time frame where Floyd had to gut everything because of the cap.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, where do you go from here? You're getting into the end of Steve McNair, the whole thing with the training facility. You know what I mean? That seemed to be pretty rough too. But I think that if you compare this to 10 years ago, first of all, you're going into a draft where you actually really want, I know now we can look at it and say, well, you know, Winston, Mariota, whatever, but as prospects, they were much different than like this year's quarterbacks, for example, the way they're perceived, which again tells you how hard it is to actually find a franchise quarterback. But there was excitement because you knew you were going to get one of them, right?
No doubt.
And then in 15, when you finish out the 5-27 in 2 year stretch, you still had him, and you felt pretty good. It was an up and down rookie year. Wasn't great, but certainly.
Well, you'd gotten rid of Wisenhunt, and everybody felt great about it.
You got rid of Wisenhunt, and you felt like you had something with this rookie quarterback. That's so different than now. Now, there were still questions that Mularkey answered in 2016 about Mularkey being the choice, right?
Yeah.
But still, I mean, like that was. Now the problem is, like, it's just again, what's the hope? And to me, it's either way. I mean, I think everybody's coming back, but if you fired him, it'd be the same thing. Like, this owner has absolutely no clue How could you possibly be confident? And people are going to be upset when this season ends and she doesn't fire the principal characters here. That they're going to be upset about that too, right?
Yeah.
But either way, like, how do you find hope and excitement? I mean, I think that's the problem right now. You know, front office, coach, quarterback. You know, every team, to me, that's what you do. You look at those three elements, and that probably tells you the story. Well, and then, of course, ownership. But if you take ownership out of it, you know, those three things, it's just completely in flux. And, you know, again, I think some people – I have a more optimistic view of Brian Callahan than some people do. But I don't blame anybody for having serious questions about him right now, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's I think a lot of this is going to depend on just how what your viewpoint is. Like, you know, 2014, they lost 10 games in a row to end the season. And one of those, I'm pulling up the box score of it right now. I've talked about it before here on the show, was the Zach Mettenberger / Jake Locker combo game in Houston, right, where I think J.J. Watt may have set an NFL sack record in that game. Like, it was just unbelievable. What he had 7 quarterback hits by himself in that game. I'm looking at it right now. He hit the quarterback 7 times and ended up with 2 sacks. It's Svitek. I mean, it's Svitek. Unbelievable. The only reason I still know his name is what happened to him that day there. 7 quarterback hits by J.J. Watt in one game. So, but to your point, when they were bad then, you looked ahead to the draft and you said, all right, there's Winston and Mariota. When they were bad in 05, you could look at the draft and you could say, well, there's Vince Young, there's Matt Leinart. I mean, heck, if Reggie Bush falls, you can go Reggie Bush. Like, there's a lot of different ways to look at it. You can do that now if you want to with the Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward, but there's no doubt to me in terms of purely what the prospect part of this is. And I don't know what their NFL careers are going to look like, but Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward are certainly not Winston Mariota as prospects, and they're certainly not Vince Young. I mean, it's a little bit of a different situation looking ahead that way.
Right. Yeah. And that, and again, it's like you can always look back, and if you weren't there at the time, you can be like, well, why is that a big deal? But Vince Young, man, Vince Young coming out of college, Vince Young, what he did in that, probably the, and by the way, there's a Rose Bowl that will always be remembered. But yep, that Rose Bowl championship against USC, I mean, absolutely unbelievable. And I was like, oh, this guy's going to be the next star. And even really, I still kind of thought that after his rookie year. He's rookie of the year. So, yeah, that's the thing. You got hope. And now now I think part of why this is the low point is, I guess, Shedeur, Cam, maybe. You know, it's just not like, where is the hope? And that's where I think it makes it the lowest point.
Is this the lowest point in Titans history as we sit here looking ahead to the game on Sunday against Houston? We'll get more of that next. Jared Stillman will be with us at 7 o'clock. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jared Stillman will join us here in about 10 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans as they round out the regular season this weekend, taking on the Houston Texans. Throwing it out there, is this the low point in Titans history? Taking your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. Joe, I think you're dead on. I think with the combination of the losing that has gone on, the lack of confidence in the current regime, which I think is pretty prevalent in this fan base right now, and then the hope moving forward, which I think is the biggest part of this. You know, we just laid it out there. Like, when you were bad in 2014, you looked at the quarterback class and you said, Winston, Mariota, sign me up for one of those guys. You know, ultimately it didn't work out with either one of those guys. But that's a different conversation than what it was looking like then, and the type of prospects that those guys were. Back in 05, when they were bad, you ended up, I mean, look, I know it didn't work out well for a lot of those quarterbacks either, right? But remember that quarterback class, like Vince Young, a lot of people thought Matt Leinart could be a pretty good NFL quarterback. Jay Cutler could be an NFL quarterback. Like, there was, I think, a lot more meat on the bone as prospects with those quarterback classes than there appears to be with this one.
Leinart is one of the all-time disappointments.
Yeah.
I mean, most people thought he was going to be great, you know, and it just didn't work out at all. So, Yeah, no question. Again, perception going into the draft, and it may turn out that Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders both are great. And so we'll look back and it'll be, you know, but you're talking about at this point, we're looking at the draft and how these prospects are viewed. And if you put yourself in the exact same time frame going into those drafts, then it's very different. So it's just, again, where are you excited about? I mean, you're hoping, you know, the front office, I mean, if the front office gets next year, which we think they will, okay, well, can they turn it around? Do people have confidence in them? You know, the quarterback thing is completely up in the air. There's no great answer. There is the potential to draft one of these guys if you lose Sunday.
Yep.
and then obviously coach. Speaking of coach, Albert Breer wrote about the coaching carousel stuff today at SI.com. He did talk about he had a little segment here. He written about how when Callahan was in the offices and the Titans knew that, you know, the Titans wouldn't let him leave the door. We knew this. We've heard this story before, right? They knew he was about to go talk to the Falcons and the Panthers. So it said, quote, Tennessee zeroed in on the former Bengals OC pretty quickly, almost too quickly, as some other coaches who interviewed felt at the time. 3-13 season later, we've reached a point where it's important to point out one thing. The Titans are about to construct their new stadium. And that with that comes immense pressure for a team to sell tickets, have the kind of known identity people will subscribe to. This was absolutely the case during the gritty John Robinson, Mike Vrabel era. But Callahan may be facing an incredibly difficult situation ahead. Needing to drastically improve a roster has been done little to no favor so far during the Rand Carthon era. And he says Carthon also could be feeling heat. But again, we're talking about feeling heat going into next year, right? Like, we're not talking about the heat that brings pink slips on Black Monday.
I think
right. That's what we're talking. We don't know. We don't know. Yeah, who knows? I mean, if they lose to the Texans, that may be it. How dare you lose to the Houston Texans? You're all fired.
Joe, before we get to Stilly, I keep sifting through this Vrabel article, and I do want to come up with one more quote here from old Mike Vrabel.
Okay.
When talking about what he's kind of looking for in his next stop here. Quote, there's got to be clear communication with ownership so that we understand as coaches what the expectations are. That's so we can explain to them what's reasonable, what we can do, what we can probably do, and what we're going to try to do or die trying. I want to have structure in place that people see the game the same way I do, from an X's and O's standpoint, from a personnel standpoint, with team building. We would hopefully have that alignment, which is critical. And I'd like to be able to say that there's a quarterback you feel like you can win with, or that there's a path to find the one that you can win with. That's the quote from Mike Vrabel. Starts off with ownership, ends with quarterback.
Let me subtweet Amy Adams Strunk here a few times. What do y'all think?
Unbelievable.
I love it. I love it, Braves.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Jared Stillman will be with us. Coming up next, we'll get his thoughts on all things Titans heading into this weekend. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.